Hello, everyone, and welcome to Retro Reminisce, the gaming podcast that basks in the golden age of gaming by delivering a weekly dose of old-school nostalgia. This is episode 18, and this week we're going to be talking about Nuclear Strike for the original PlayStation, the Nintendo 64, and the PC. This is the final game in the Strike series of helicopter action games, so we'll revisit this game to see if the series ended on a high note, or if it didn't, and how well it holds up 19 years later. We'll also give you some current pricing trends in case this is something you would like to check out for yourself. Before we get started, don't forget to head on over to thegamingoutsider.com and check out our video game podcasts, our articles, our subscribe links, and our social media links as well. Feedback is greatly appreciated, so use our email links to let us know how we're doing. Also, subscribe to this podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, and more. Last week, we released episode 17, which we focused on discussing our tips and tricks on how to collect retro games, so check that out if you have not. I'm your host, Josh Faulkner. I'm here with my co-host, Justin Wilson. Justin, how are you doing this evening, man?
Oh, not too bad. A little tired. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm actually excited to get this recorded because I have PlayStation VR in my house right now, and I want to play more of it. So,
pretty addicting so far?
Well, I only got to play a little bit of it because I was on Wyatt babysitting duty, my son, when I got home and from work, and my wife's working late, so... I mean, you don't really want to play something like that when you're babysitting a toddler, you know, because you can't see what they're doing. You got this thing strapped to your head. But he was sleeping when I got home, so I got to hook it up, which takes a little while to hook this thing up. It's pretty intense. But I did get to play one of the demos on the demo disc that the headset came with, and it's pretty amazing. So you will be finding out shortly, though, how this thing is, because... just to give you guys a heads up, we will be doing a special episode for PlayStation VR for the Gaming Outsider podcast. So subscribe to that podcast and look out for that soon. Justin and I will be talking about PlayStation VR on that podcast, separate from this. So check that out. That aside, I mean, it's pretty interesting. So we'll talk all about that on that episode of the podcast. But other than that, man, how have you been this week?
Oh, pretty good. Tearing my hair out from Nuclear Strike. This game was giving me quite the headache.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and jump into this then. So Nuclear Strike is the final game of helicopter action games called the Strike series, more or less. They all have the word Strike in them. This is developed by Electronic Arts. It was published by Electronic Arts. And it started out on the Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo with Desert Strike. Then after that, they had Jungle Strike, and then Urban Strike. And then the series moved over to the 32-bit era. Soviet Strike was the first one for the PlayStation, and I think it was on the Sega Saturn and PC and stuff like that. And then a year later, after Soviet Strike came out and kind of bombed, and it wasn't very good and got really bad ratings, a year later they pumped out this game, Nuclear Strike, and this is the last one in this series. So we're going to talk about this game and see if they went out with a bang or not, but... these are basically just helicopter action games or isometric view overhead, and you're just flying around just blowing stuff up, more or less. Very simplistic game. Justin, you want to tell us a little bit more about this game and the story surrounding it and everything?
Yeah, I never really played any of the earlier ones, but this one, there's a nuke that's being traded around, and basically your objective is to find and destroy the nuke before they can launch it on the rebel bases. And basically, it starts off, and you have to rescue some people to help you push your line forward. And then the nuke ends up getting traded around to, like, pirates and all these other... It's actually kind of a deep story. There's a lot to it. It's kind of half of why this game's worth playing, in my opinion. But the general mechanics of this game is what really caught my eye the most. When it comes to war games, I'm not too keen to stick to the storyline. Like, I've played most of the Call of Duties, I'm not too proud to say. I didn't do much of the storylines. Like, I got a general idea of what's going on, but I kind of felt the same way with this one a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because they get the pirates in there and it's pretty funny. You end up bombing all these pirate ships. But I liked what really drew my eye to this game was the mechanics. I'm a big strategy fan, and that's pretty much all this game is mm-hmm. is pure strategy.
Yeah, and it kind of looks like an RTS game in a way, but it's not. It's a full-fledged sort of action, sort of arcade-y kind of game. And there's three versions of this game. The original PlayStation version, which came out in 1997 in August. In November, a couple months later, it came out on PC as well. Now, in November of 1999, there was an N64 version of this game as well, 2 years later. THQ bought the rights to this game, I guess, and they're the ones who developed it and released it on the N64. They ported it over. Now, there's actually some pretty distinct differences between the two, because the PlayStation game has full-fledged FMV, full-motion video, live-action sequences that are acted out by real actors and everything, and they play out like in between missions and stuff, and then sometimes you'll have like little videos that'll pop up on the screen of these people as well. It's very, very similar to Electronic Arts' Command & Conquer series, how they have these live-action kind of goofy actors acting out all these war scenarios and giving you all the story beats in between missions and stuff. There's a guy in this game, I think his character's named Earl, and he's pulling a huge Matthew McConaughey like vibe in his performance, and it's kind of funny. But the performances aren't too bad. The dialogue's kind of hokey, but they did a pretty good job, even though the quality of the videos are very low, but that's just what you get with PlayStation. PC version had that as well. The N64 version did not have this stuff, though. But the N64 version had a pretty slick lock-on mechanic that the other two versions did not, and that made the game play better. So you're kind of trading off full motion video for a little better controls and mechanics as well. So it's a little interesting. Now, Justin, you played this on N64, right?
Oh yeah, and it was cleaned up.
Yeah.
The HUD was really, really nice. They gave you like a map which lets you see your objectives and enemies a lot easier. Mm-hmm. The lock on was nice, but it was the right C button, so it's kind of out of the way. Mm-hmm. But I found myself accidentally mashing it from time to time, and it turns the lock on off. It actually goes through several different modes, and it was kind of wonky. Like it locked on, and then it wouldn't lock on or lock on to something else, or it would just go away entirely, and that was a little frustrating. I felt like they should have just kind of not given me the option to turn it off.
Yeah.
Because everyone used it.
So in this game, you start off as a helicopter. You're in sort of this jungle environment. There's five different environments in this game. You start off in a jungle. One of them's like in Korea, then they have one like in a city, and then and stuff like that. And you're just flying around. You have to use the D-pad in this game on the PlayStation version, because the analog DualShock controller wasn't out yet for the original PlayStation when this released. And that threw me off, because when I started playing, I kept wanting to use the analog stick. So you have to use the D-pad. And you fly around the D-pad, and you use the L1 and R1 buttons to kind of shift left and right to kind of pivot so you can dodge stuff. And you shoot. You have a machine gun that you shoot, and you have missiles. And you can pick up more ammo and health packs and stuff like that around the environment. And it's very important that you grab those, because this game can get pretty tough. And you just run around and you just blow up everything, and they'll pop up objectives on the screen. They'll tell you kind of where to go, and you just go and you just blow stuff up. You can do escort missions, which are kind of goofy. We all know how we feel about escort missions. There's like protecting missions, like all kinds of different things, a variety of stuff. But the gist of it all is just blow everything up in sight, more or less.
Yeah, it reminded me kind of a way more detailed Blast Corps.
Yeah. And see, with this game, there is no lock on. So when you're shooting with the X button to try to use your machine gun, you're just hoping, just praying and spraying, more or less, just hope you're hitting things. Now, it's a little easier with the missiles, because they'll kind of like move towards the target. You just have to kind of center yourself by the target and shoot them. But sometimes that leaves you vulnerable, because you have to kind of stop the lineup an enemy and then shoot. And that can make the game a little harder, even if you cut down the difficulty a bit, because you're kind of leaving yourself wide open for shots while you're trying to yourself shoot off rockets and everything to hit enemies. Now, did you have that problem in the N64 version, or did the lock-on fix that for you?
It did. If there were some things where the lock-on just didn't seem to target. Okay, there's a mission where you had to destroy missiles before they launched.
Mm-hmm.
And that last missile, the one that starts off like in like a divot in the ground, and it's under this thing, and it starts to rise up out of the ground. For some reason, my lock-on just wouldn't target it that well. First of all, it was in the ground, so it was really hard to hit to begin with.
Yeah.
But even after it popped out of the ground, I kind of had to strafe around a little bit, kind of find a sweet spot. And it's really hard, because if you don't know the area too well, there's a lot of anti-aircraft missiles firing at you in that area. So it takes a second. It's a lot of trial and error with this game, especially with the lock-on being not the greatest.
So it sounds like their lock-on system added to the N64 version doesn't really help much when it comes.
It does most of the time, but there's quite a few incidences where it's going to be frustrating. You have to play a level over and over again just because it won't stay locked.
Gotcha. Now, there's a couple things that threw me off about this game. Number one is, and I don't know if this is the way it is on the N64 version, but on the PlayStation version, on the main menu, you have like two or three options. You have load and save your game, and you have options, and that's it. And I couldn't figure out how to start the damn game, because usually there's like new game or start game or something like that, you know, and there was nothing like that. So I'm like, I'm going to options and I don't see anything. And I'm going into load and save, then maybe I start a new game and load or something, you know, and nothing there. I'm like, well, how the hell do I start the damn game? And it says very small at the bottom of the screen to press start, and you have to press start to start the actual game, but there's no option for you to start the game. And I thought that was really odd, because I've never really seen that before in a game. You just have to kind of press it and it just takes you in there, and there's no indication that you're starting the game other than that little small thing at the bottom that says start, but it doesn't really give you much context, and it's really strange. Was it like that in the N64 version?
No, I really didn't pay too much attention, but from what I remember, it started right up with new game, continue game, or options.
Interesting. Now, another thing that threw me off about this game is when you start it, you have some missions that'll pop up that you start off with, and you're flying around just blowing stuff up. And a big thing you want to do in this game is like almost everything's destructible, but you don't want to blow everything up, because not only are you going to waste a lot of ammunition, but it'll also leave you open for other enemies to shoot at you. But you can also be blowing up buildings and stuff that you could use for cover that may benefit to you. So if you're just blowing everything in the hell around you, that might actually hurt you in the long run. So I learned that very quickly that I shouldn't do that, because I just wanted to blow everything up in my path.
Yep. The first thing I learned was don't pick up ammo and armor and fuel and all that unless you need it, because it's scarce. It's really scarce, especially in them later on levels. You really better be saving your ammo.
Yeah, and you can blow up buildings and stuff to get more, because some of them will be inside buildings when you blow them up, but some of those can hurt you because you can use them to your advantage inside in like big skirmishes, more or less. So you got to be very careful. But they'll give you some missions, and you go, and it'll say like, hey, over here on the map, go over here and like take out these guys or whatever. So I'll go over there, and there'll be some tanks. I take them out, and they have a little like a little heads up screen. It looks like a compass, so it kind of points you in the right direction. But sometimes it disappears on you, and I don't really know quite where to go, and then it'll pop up again. And there's a little mini map also that'll show you like on the screen like what are enemies and what are objectives and stuff like that. And sometimes that will disappear, and I don't know how to get it back sometimes. And I thought that really threw me off. But also, when you complete a mission, there's no screen or anything that really gives you an indication that the mission's over and you're going on to the next one. It's all seamless. And so you basically just go start going on to the map. It's like one big map. And so you go to the next mission, and it'll pop up on your screen and tell you, hey, here's the next mission. You just fly over there and do the next mission. There's no breaks in between it. There's no loading screens, like nothing. It's all seamless, which is really cool. The problem here is that in order for you to get the next mission on your HUD to know where to go, you have to keep pausing the game and going to the map and like cycling through objectives, and then unpause it, and then it appears on your compass where to go. And so it isn't just mission complete, go on to this area to complete the next mission or whatever. Like, you have to keep pausing the game and cycling through stuff to get it to appear on your map to go, and it just doesn't automatically do it. And I thought that was really stupid. Did it do it on the N64 version as well?
It was really cleaned up, actually. You could press start, and you had three different menus you could scroll through. Mm-hmm. One of them was missions, one of them was enemies, and it was you could scroll by different types of enemies.
That's the same way here as well, yes.
Yep, and then one of them was like your ammo, your health, etc. And then you could highlight one of them and then press start again, and it would show up on the HUD. It had an arrow and a compass.
Yeah.
So you could just line the arrow up so you're headed towards it on your compass, and as long as you got it selected on start. But a lot of times I'll find myself pressing start to get to the next objective, because in the 64 version, once you complete an objective, you had to press start to get the briefing on the next objective.
Yes, that's how it was too.
Yeah, and sometimes I'd find myself accidentally, because I could use the joystick on mine, so I'd accidentally knock it to the left, and next thing you know, I'm flying all around, like, where's the enemies? And I find, like, a health pack. I'm like, I don't need that. What am I doing all the way over
Yeah.
here?
Yeah, and you know that it just stays on this one map the whole time until it'll finally break off into a new terrain type, and then you go to a new map, and then you finally get a loading screen, and then you'll get like a cutscene, a full motion video, and stuff like that. So it's really weird because I didn't know that I thought I was still in the same level when I was playing this, and I was making all this progress, and then I died, and I got really pissed off. I'm like, so you mean I have to start all this all over again? But no, I didn't. I was still playing. I probably beat four or five different missions in the beginning, and I thought I was still on the same one. And they don't do anything to really make you realize that. So
see,
there's a lot of confusion surrounding this game, I've noticed, for myself at least.
It was a lot easier on the 64. You would get, say, around three or four missions, and then it would take a break. It would ask if you wanted to save, and then it would start back up in a different area. But you got your save point – or not different area, but you'd get your next missions in an area similar or next to the area you're in.
Yeah.
That made it nice because there was frequent saves. You do three or four, and there was really only like – I'd say one to two really solid hard parts in each mission. The rest was kind of cruising.
Yeah.
If you know how to, you know, use your strife properly at least.
Yeah, which is detrimental to use that strife too. You kind of
But it took me a long time to get that down.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different submissions in this game too that you can take on the side if you want to. Some of them are escort missions. Some of them will be like, hey, this person needs help. Just go save them or something like that, or take out these extra targets. There's multiple different things that you can do, and that's nice as well. And also, there's this game had a lot of passcodes too that would help you out too. There's passwords that you could use for cheats. One of them in particular removed all the enemies from the game, and you could just coast through the whole thing if you wanted to, which was really strange. But
there's where the building destruction gets a lot of fun.
you could do that if you really wanted to. And there's different vehicles in this game as well. You're not just driving a helicopter. You can actually stop and pick up objects and carry them around with the helicopter, but you can actually land the helicopter on a helipad near a different vehicle, and you can hop into that and drive around too. And there was a hover boat that I had for a while that was pretty fun. There was an Abrams tank I was driving, and there's like 15 of these in particular. Did you experience any of these at all?
Yeah, I came across the hover, but I came across pretty much the same ones you did.
Okay.
I liked them. I thought they drove really well compared like to other games when you get in a different vehicle that it's not the main vehicle used for the game.
Yeah.
They won't tend to handle as well, but this game it seemed that all of them handled pretty decently well.
I actually like the hoverboat more than I do the damn helicopter, to be honest.
Did you really? Once I got that strife down on the helicopter, I really didn't want to leave it because I felt like a pro.
Gotcha. And there's some stuff in this game that's kind of goofy too. Like there was one point where I was near a train, and I had to protect this train. And every time the train would make like a toot horn noise, it sounded like a kid blowing a kazoo. And I just kept laughing at it. It was funny. It was really bad sound effects. But my son himself likes to play with like musical instrument toys, and he has a kazoo. And I just thought of my son sitting there blowing on this kazoo every time I heard it. But this game doesn't give you any kind of tutorial or anything. It just drops you in and says, have at it. And that's basically it. And you just run around, blow stuff up. Now, some of the missions I was in were a little frustrating, especially some of the ones that were like escort missions. But like you said, most of them were pretty smooth sailing. As long as you're not just going nuts on blowing everything up you see and wasting your time and your ammo, and you're actually seeking out those ammo packs and everything and picking them up in order to continue on. And I mean, it's just I played games like this on the original Nintendo a lot too. There was one called Jackal that was like this I used to play, but that was a like a Jeep you drove around, but the same kind of gameplay. And then there's another one on PlayStation I used to play called Mass Destruction. And I think is kind of better than this game. And that was a tank one as well, but same overhead view, same style of gameplay and all that stuff as well. So let's talk about the controls a little bit. Now, we both played two different versions. How was the controls for you on the N64 version?
Oh, they were great. Your Z and your L on the 64 controller are the same buttons, so you can switch between the D-pad and the joystick, because you know that joystick could tear the heck out of your thumb, and so could the D-pad too.
Yeah.
So I liked that a lot. It made it be able to play a lot more. But the controls seemed really, really smooth. It was pretty easy to attack stuff. Turning around was a little tedious, it felt like, from time to time. You really couldn't turn too sharp. And lining shots up can be a pain, but that's kind of half of the puzzle for the game is learning how to line the shots up properly. Overall, I thought they were really tight.
Well, the PlayStation version, like I said, you can't use the analog stick, so you have to use the D-pad. The controls itself are pretty much self-explanatory. They would work how you think they would. But after you've played the game for about 10, 15 minutes, you pretty much got it down. But turning and coasting left and right with the – because on this version, you can do the lean left and right, like the strafing with the L1 and R1 buttons. And just try kind of turning and getting those strifes just right in order to not – sort of leave yourself sitting still and vulnerable was kind of difficult, but otherwise the game plays very arcadey and it's pretty easy to control for the most part. I didn't really have any issues with that. I just wish there was a better way to aim your shots in this game. I wish it had that lock-on mechanic and it had a better lock-on mechanic than the N64 version had, because I think that would make it a little more fun for me.
I'd say with the strafing, this game really felt like a flight sim without it being a flight sim.
Yeah, and I've heard that comparison a lot. It's sort of like an arcade game and a flight sim kind of mixed together in an overhead view. Like the controls are a little more complicated than you would expect, and they're a little more complicated than the older Strike games I used to play on the Sega Genesis, like Desert Strike and Jungle Strike. So they did add a little bit of a little more advanced control options to this to make it feel a little different. So, and the helicopter has weight to it. It feels weighty, which is nice as well. So they did do a good job on that. Now, how about the graphics, man? Like, I know this is an old game. It's 19 years old, but how did the game look to you?
Not too bad. It was really easy to tell, like, some of the escort missions, you're going to have to blow up tanks and other anti-aircraft vehicles while you're escorting some jeeps. And you could really tell where the road was. I mean, for N64, you'd think, oh, well, obviously you can tell where the road. But it's just this little brown line, almost, like, just barely hard to tell. But it was nice because at least you can follow the road, the path you're going to take, and blow up stuff in advance. But they're not pretty to look at, that's for sure. But you can use the train to your advantage as far as strategy, which is kind of the point of this game in general anyways. So it may not be the prettiest, but it does help with how it's laid out.
Yeah, the PlayStation version I actually think looks a little better. Because the N64 version, all the ground textures are super smoothed out. And they actually look like they're at a lower resolution than the buildings are.
Oh, yeah, they're muddy.
Yeah, it's very muddy. And it sort of is with the PlayStation version, too, but everything's a little blockier with the PlayStation version. And but the funny thing about it is it kind of makes it look like it has texture, even though it doesn't. I noticed that just that smoothing effect that they use on the N64 version is very odd. And you can also use the expansion pack RAM cartridge for that thing too, and it'll make the graphics look a little better. But the helicopters look great in this game. They still look great.
Oh yeah.
I actually was impressed with the water. There was sort of a nice kind of bluish hue to the water, and it didn't look realistic, but in this era, like, I thought the water was actually really nice looking. Was it more of a flat surface like on the N64 version, or was
no,
the N64 version flat, I mean, or did it look like it had sort of waves going on to it?
It reminded me of almost like a tabletop gaming board,
okay,
like what we'd use for Dungeons and Dragons. There was a lot of texture going on, but not a lot of movement.
Okay,
and it looked really good. It was smooth, definitely.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's not a terrible looking game, and with the kind of game it is, the graphics work. You know, it's not like it's going to be a huge eyesore. But I do think the PlayStation version has a slight advantage, even though everything's kind of smoothed out but muddier looking in the N64 version. But still, not a bad-looking game today. What about the difficulty for this game? How hard was this game for you?
This game had me in tears sometimes just because you work so hard to get so far, and the next thing you know, you're stuck 10 or, you know, a mission or two behind where you got earlier, and it just, like, frustrates you. It's one of the ones you have to walk away for a while. There was one mission where you had to blow up these really big ships. They were like carriers or something like that, and when you approached them, they start to sail, And if they sail off the map, you lose. And they take so much ammo. You have to be careful not to approach more than one while you're flying around, because the other ones will start to move too. So you have to destroy these four ships, and it takes almost everything you have if you're using the chopper just to blow up one. So you got to go find more ammo. So it ramps up, definitely. The beginning missions are child's play, and then you get into the middle and then towards the end, and you're really going to have to walk away and take a couple breaths for a minute.
Yeah, anything where they have some sort of time limit tied to, like you were saying, the ships will sail away and it's game over, like stuff like that drove me insane. The game, there was one moment early on in particular where there was a lot of tanks in this village and you had to clear all of them out. And there were so many of them that while I'm trying to focus on one and shoot missiles, like all the other ones are destroying me. And then there's little dudes running out of the building shooting rockets at me. And I just kept dying really easy. And I was playing on the normal difficulty. And yeah, this game can get really tough, but it's all about moving and using the environment to your advantage as well. You don't want to stay in one spot, and you want to kind of use the buildings as cover, even though this is like an overhead view game, but still the ammo from the enemies can hit those buildings, so you can kind of use them as cover a little bit. But at the same time, I felt like it's so hard to aim and shoot at things in this game that it's hard not to stand still and be out in the open and vulnerable to all these other things attacking you, and that made it pretty difficult. And mixed with the idea that I didn't even know that the game was, I was making progress, and I thought it was just, you know, I was still on one level. I got pretty fed up with this game pretty early, and I didn't really play a whole lot more than I would have liked to because of that. So it definitely has a difficulty curve that's kind of a pain in the ass, I would say.
The auto aim on the N64 version made it a lot easier, because it would target even with the bullets as you strafe left and right.
Yeah, no, so this doesn't.
When you have those anti-aircraft missiles flying at you, you can time it down to where every single one of them misses you pretty easily, and you can still manage to get the shots off while you're doing so. So I'd say the N64 version is probably easier just because of that.
Yeah, no, you don't get that in the PlayStation version at all. It's pray and spray, more or less. So 19 years later with this game, how do you feel it holds up today? Do you feel like it stands up to a modern game? You know, if they remastered this thing and stuck it on a digital download, I mean, do you think this is a fun game for the people to revisit, or do you think it's aged too much?
Well, they really tried to fix it as they went along. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they came out with all these other versions and said, oh, well, that didn't work. Let's try making this HUD, or let's try doing this and that. So I think if they were to remake it, or if it were to be re-released today, they would finally polish it up the way they would want it to be. And even if they don't, it's a great puzzle game. It really is. It's a puzzle game that you wouldn't expect to be puzzle, because it's more military and all that. But there's a heck of a lot of strategy, ammo saving, and really taking your time and planning your moves out and making sure you're not too overworked to continue, because you might have to walk away and take a break from this one.
Yeah, this is a game where you're just expecting just to go batshit crazy and blow everything up in your path and have a blast with it, you're probably going to be mistaken, because it is a little tougher than that. And that's actually a strategy you don't want to use in this game. But yeah. But if we're talking in terms of graphics and mechanics or anything, I think the game still holds up pretty well today. It's a pretty fun game. It's just pretty difficult. And I feel like the actual mechanics with the shooting needs some help. So if they did like re-release something like this, I mean, if they worked with the auto aim and they worked with the controls a bit to make it easier to dodge and maneuver and still aim and shoot, it would be a much better game for that. But unfortunately, this is what we have now, and to me, just because of that, the game doesn't hold up too well nowadays. I'm not saying it's not fun to play. You can get this game super cheap, pop it in, have some fun with it, you know, until you get frustrated with it and throw it aside. But yeah, to me, it didn't hold up too well just because of the control issues on that PlayStation version itself. Now, this game stopped with Nuclear Strike. No more games in this series. Electronic Arts just sort of ditched this game at this point. I'm sorry, this series at this point. There was supposed to be one more after this, though, and they were going to call it Future Strike. And it was going to be a futuristic version of this series. But that game fell through. And I guess all the assets and everything that they used for Future Strike, they turned into a game for the PlayStation called Future Cop LAPD. Have you ever played that game?
I have not.
I love that game. It was fantastic, and it had some very similar gameplay to this. But you were in mechs, and there were police mechs, and you're running around in a futuristic LA, blowing stuff up. And that game was awesome. And it wasn't until I revisited this game and started doing some research on it that I found out that Future Cop LAPD was actually supposed to be a Strike game, and I thought that was really cool. So if you want to see a more modern Strike game, and really the last one they made, but much, much better, go seek out Future Cop LAPD. Maybe we'll grab a copy of it and we'll cover it in the future on this show, but that's a much better version of this sort of gameplay and more refined and just cooler. So keep that in mind as well. Now let's hit some pricing trends. This game is actually super cheap to get a hold of. The PlayStation version, complete, you can get it at $5 and under. I actually picked up a copy of it myself for only $4 in mint condition with disc and manual and everything. Very, very inexpensive game, very common. So if you're interested in playing this, you can get the PlayStation version really easy. However, if you want to go Justin's route and play the N64 version that has some better mechanics and a little easier controls and everything, you're going to pay a lot more for this one. It's not a lot more, but you're looking at about $10 here, maybe $8 at the least. So it's going to cost you about double the price of the PlayStation version. But if you actually find it with the box and manual, it's going to cost you around $20. So it's worth a bit more. The PC version is dirt cheap. Now, we didn't cover the PC version on this. It's probably because I really didn't feel like having to try to get this thing to run on my modern PC. You know how it is with old PC games. You have to really work with them to get them to work on modern systems. I didn't feel like dealing with that. But the PC version, if you can track a copy of this down on eBay or at like a really cheap like flea market or anything like that, you can get this game for like $2. Like, it's super, super cheap. If you can scour eBay and find a game for a couple bucks, easy. So if you want to revisit that on PC, you can do it that way too. I'm pretty sure this game is on PlayStation Network as well, so where you can get the PlayStation version and play it on your PS3, your Vita, your PlayStation TV or whatnot, or your PSP. So I think that is available if you want to play it that way as well. All right, so that'll be it for this episode of Retro Reminisce. Justin, thank you for hopping on and talking some Nuclear Strike with me. I appreciate it.
Oh yeah, no problem. It was fun. I feel like we didn't do justice to the hardcore Strike fans. No.
And you know, I really, really like those old like Jungle Strike and Desert Strike and stuff on the N64 version. I'm not N64. I'm sorry. The Sega Genesis ones were the ones I used to play. And but for some reason, man, this one just didn't really do much for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, I watched a lot of these played young when I was younger, but I tried to stay away from a little bit just because I was intimidated with the flying and all that fun stuff. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Can't wait to check out that VR this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Me too, man. Me too. Tune in next week where we'll be revisiting a new retro game. Head over to thegamingoutsider.com for more and email us at feedback@thegamingoutsider.com if there's a game that you would like for us to cover or just to give us any general feedback on the show. We hope to see you next time, and as we leave, I would like to remind you to visit your local retro shop, grab a golden oldie, and game like it's 1989. Thanks, guys. See you next time.